Hello, podcast. Thank you for tuning in today again. I have a beautiful, beautiful recorded episode with Cosmic, current Super Mario Bros. 1 world record holder in both Any% and Any% Warp list. We talked a lot about his journey in the speed game, how he approaches speedruns, you know, keeps up with the life cycle of speedrunning, aka how he keeps improving and getting to the top all the time. Was a lot of really awesome stories he shared, a lot of awesome stories about his journey with these games. And how he, you know, overcame a lot of struggle. Yeah, he told a lot of things I was really, really surprised about. Hope you will be surprised about it too. It was a pleasure to record this one. It was really awesome. So please enjoy it and have fun with it. Hello, everybody. My name is Flash177, and today, in today's podcast episode, I have a wonderful guest called Cosmic here. He's the current world record holder of SMB1 in Any% and Any% Warpless. Hello, Cosmic. Introduce yourself.
Hello, I'm Cosmic. I've been speedrunning for like 8 or 9 years now, something like that, and that's doing Super Mario Bros. For like a majority of that. I have a lot of experience, and I like speedrunning it.
Yeah, I see that. Actually, like one thing I saw when I was like browsing through your Twitch feed and seeing what else you do. I saw you speedrun also a lot of other games. Like, you've speedrun Donkey Kong 64 in a really long time, and you speedrun games I've never have heard about. But your main game has been like SMB1 since forever, I believe.
Yeah, I started speedrunning with Ocarina of Time, actually.
Wow, okay.
Because I found, yeah, speedruns live and Ocarina of Time bingo. That's what, like, I got really interested in doing. Today, that would probably be like people who get into speedrunning through randomizers, pretty much the same kind of thing. And then one day I just saw a race of Super Mario Bros. And joined it. And I was like, I want to get a better time. And I just kept wanting to get a better time until here we are.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, okay. That's actually kind of unique, like, that you started with Ocarina of Time bingo. I feel like most people just start with seeing something on Speedrun's Live being very, very active and very relevant, and then started with that, and then they all branched out into each different speed games. So how did you end up exactly with just SMB1? Was it just your favorite game from your childhood, or did you fall in love with the speedrun itself? What led to SMB1 in particular?
I think just over the years, I'd always kind of like messed around with speedrun type things. Like, I would watch YouTube videos of, like, Mario Kart 64 glitches and lap skips, and I would just try them out. And I saw, like, the 5-minute speedrun of Super Mario Bros., and, like, I tried to, like, run through 1-1 without slowing down. Mm-hmm. Just little stuff like that. Or, like, a couple levels in New Super Mario Bros. When I was, like, 14, I would be like, how fast can I beat this level? So I always kind of, like, tended towards that. But some tricks, when I would try them after seeing the videos of them, were just way too hard. So I was like, I could never actually be a speedrunner.
Yeah.
But when I found OOT Bingo, it wasn't like I was trying to make this perfect run that I was going to submit to Speed Demos Archive or something. It was just like, I'm just racing and it doesn't matter how bad I do, because I'm just like playing a game. So yeah, that's what sort of got, like, broke the barrier to entry and got me into it. And then I think I just really liked the community and stuff once I got involved with SMB1, and it was like a satisfying game to improve in. And because it's a game where you really can like envision the run that you want and you can actually get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. So SMB1 is like your number one game now, but let's actually talk about the other games, because I've seen you getting like world records in other games. And how do you actually manage to go that far in so many games? That's like actually one thing I was really curious about. Yeah, just go ahead.
Mm-hmm. So I sometimes will talk about how everyone, at least I think, this is how it happened for me, and I've seen it happen for other people, where for a long time they don't get world records or like get to certain levels because they hold themselves back, and in their brain they're like, I'm not a top speedrunner or like a world record holder. So they just don't approach that, and it's like a hard mental barrier to break. Mm-hmm. But once they do, it sort of like flips this switch in their minds where they're like, oh, I can do this, and then they start to do it more and more. I think we hold ourselves back more than anyone or anything does. So my first record was actually in Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, that's something I saw.
Yeah. Like, I got the SMB1 Warpless record, like, the week after. So I was, like, playing both at the same time back then. Had a lot more free time. It was in high school. But, yeah, I don't know. I think it was good that back then the records weren't as optimized. My first record in SMB1 was Warpless, and it was, like, years old, and Andrew G had a bunch of mistakes in it. So it was good that I was able to beat it, and then I could be like, oh, I can sort of get to the top level if I work at it. And same with DK64, like Ring Rush was the best player at the time, but he didn't get to play a lot. So the record was kind of unoptimized and there was lots of new tricks. So I don't know that I really deserved it back then, but it at least got me to the point where I could be like, okay, I can get to the top level. And then once I got there, I just kind of kept working at it to try and get more.
Yeah, actually, you mentioned already something which I like to talk about, because when I see good, talented speedrunners, I feel like they can pick up another game and be like naturally really good already at the other game, or they understand how speedrunning flows. So would you agree on that? If once you understand the concept of learning, practicing, and optimizing a run for yourself, you can apply that sort of rule to every other game you like to pick up. Because like when I look, for example, at TGH, who was a phenomenal runner in Undertale, is now a phenomenal runner in Zelda Link's Awakening, in Celeste, and all the other games. And I feel like for so many other world record holders, that's the case too. So what's your take on that?
I think it's kind of just not an accident that they got really good at the one game in the first place. Like, there is a method to the madness, and it's not that they have just some innate natural talent or something, that it's that they are mostly willing to put in the work, and they have like the passion or like the drive to actually do it. So when they go to another game, they want to get to that level, and they will like see it through until they do. But also, yeah, the more you speedrun and the more games you pick up, you kind of learn how to get good at the tricks, or like sort of a unspoken formula for yourself where you like kind of figure out a trick and then like implement it, like get more consistent at runs, and then like you go back through and analyze all your strats and you're like, here's how I can get better here. And I don't know, everyone sort of has different approaches, but I like, for example, one of the most recent games that I've learned was Billy Hatcher.
Yeah, that's also something I saw.
Yeah, that game's really cool. And the first day I was learning it, someone was telling me about this strat that no one ever does. And I was like, that's going to be in the world record like later. Like, no one's actually doing it. But I was like, I know that will be in the world record at a future date. And then when I got to that level, people still weren't really doing it. But I went and like figured out the trick better than people had before and like started implementing it. And now it's in the world record. So okay. I don't know. You get a lot of experience and can kind of see like, that's reasonable. When I get to that point, I'll pick that up and stuff like that.
Awesome. Yeah, I feel like many people doubt themselves more than anyone else, that they will never reach that point, or reaching that point seems so hard. But I mean, it is basically just like putting a lot of effort in. And once you figured it out for yourself how to approach speedrunning, it is a lot easier. Like when I was grinding a lot of Celeste, I definitely could see myself reaching the highest level if I just would invest like 3 or 4 times more time into it. But and I think that's like the point where most people stop at, I believe. Like basically every speedrunner who invested some time into it and it was somewhat seriously about it could definitely reach world record level if they just had enough time and willpower to go through it. Is that something you would agree on?
Yeah, definitely. Like some people might have like slightly faster reaction times, or they're just have like a general like understanding of like, oh, here's how this trick might work. They're good at like solving or like innovating, kind of a thing. But for the most part, I do think it's mostly just how willing you are to work at it. And I think that anyone who is at the top level in anything puts in so many like invisible hours of practice and dedication towards it that, like, from the outside looking in, you just never see.
Yeah, that's like basically what the general field of people who watch speedruns don't really see, that, like, I don't know how many hours you have invested into Mario 1, but I believe it's probably 5 digits now.
I don't know if it's hard to measure, because, I mean, I don't know how many either. Okay. There's so many, like, hours of practice that, I don't know, aren't recorded or anything. I actually have no idea, but 10,000 hours is, like...
It's too much. Maybe it's,
yeah,
too much.
Yeah, that's like more than a year of hours. Yeah. So I'm not sure. But okay, people do always put that as like 10,000 hours is when you're like an expert or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. That's like a formula actually some smart guy wrote a book about, that you need 10,000 hours to master anything. I think
people like famous like violinists or something, they probably play like a few hours a day, and so they do that a lot more than... Like, speedrunning, I have done it for, like, a lot of years, but it's still, like maybe 15 hours a week or something, so it, like, doesn't add up as fast.
Okay. Well. Okay, so we already talked about a bunch of things, but one thing I want to say, because you talked about the formula once figures out how to approach a speed game. What is your formula? What is your way to dive into a new speed game? What's your mentality towards it? And what's your general approach if you end up deciding to pick up a new game, like let's say today? What would your approach be? And like pick a game you think about right now.
Right. So because I... It kind of depends. There's certain games that I've wanted to pick up, but like I almost know I want to like invest too much into them, so I'm like afraid. Like I've always wanted to speedrun Donkey Kong Country 2, but I don't think I'd be satisfied just sort of like half-heartedly picking it up. Same with a few other games. And so I don't know. If I decide to pick it up, I'm probably trying to get to like top level, just because that's like with my limited free time. If I'm gonna speedrun, I like really want to give it my all at this point. So I usually will literally just like look at the world record and like try and learn from it, and if something is like too stupid or I just can't figure it out at that point, I'm like, I'll leave this for later and either look at like a mid-level strat or like ask a community member what should I do here instead. A lot of times, almost every time, there's a community that's like super willing to help you out with learning. True. And so they're like, don't try this trick at first. It's just stupid. Just don't bother with it. So that usually helps.
I think what you just said is like a prime example of what people might be afraid of. I'm including myself into this, because when I would learn a new game, or when probably a ton of other people would learn a new game, they would more prefer a slow way into it. Like I just started with these most basic strategies, and then I dive deeper into it as comfortable, when I feel comfortable enough to, you know, learn the next level, I would say. So would you recommend to like extreme newcomers or to like people who speedrun one or two games already to just also look at world records and learn from them? Or is there like...
I might have given the wrong impression, because like when I say I watch the world record, I actually end up not doing a lot of strats that they do.
Okay.
I'm just really good at this point of like telling what things I should or shouldn't go for, like right off the bat. So I would, I'd probably just ask the community for like a beginner tutorial or like just what resources they have for you to start out with. I usually just like watch the world record video to see what's on the table and like maybe where I'm going in the future, or like, I don't know. I kind of like see all the options, and then like, because I have a lot of experience, I like, I'm good at picking and choosing what to start with. But yeah, there's definitely no like shame in starting out with the easiest strats and then implementing more. I'm actually like way in favor of getting a bunch of small PBs than trying to do big PBs all at once.
I think it's also more enjoyable.
It drives me crazy when people, happens all the time in Super Mario Bros. People will like just not ever like get a first PB. They're like game over in like 8-2 and then they just don't finish or something, and they like don't have a PB. I'm like, just finish, please. My first PB was 1 hour 10 minutes. Like, come on. And then they'll get to like 5:05 or something, and then unless they're on like 4:58 pace, they reset. And I'm like, no, just like, yeah, PB. And even when they have 4:58, they start going for like 4:56, and I'm like, stop. Just get PBs. It's more fun that way, and like, you don't get as burned out. And if you're good enough to get 4:56, it shouldn't be that hard to get a 4:57. So just PB a little bit at a time.
I really love what you just said. Yeah, it's like people, speedrunners are used to perfection. Like, they want everything to be as perfect as possible, but sometimes you just need to slow yourself down and accept that, oh, today I just PB'd by 1 second if I could have PB'd by 3 seconds, for example. It's like, yeah, that's how it is. You are not always perfect. I mean, yeah, you said already one thing, burned out. Like, burning out in speedrunning, I feel like speedrunning is meant to burn out people in some kind of way, because you always tend to do the same thing over and over. How are you not supposed to burn out from that? So have you been burned out with, like, for example, SMB1 at some point in your life? And what have you done with that experience, I want to ask?
Yeah. Almost every, at least in the past few years, almost every time I wanted to get a record, I would like keep going until I got it. But that's the case with like all the categories except SMB1 any percent, because that category is just so different that sometimes I just needed to get away from it, even if I wasn't quite at my goal yet. Because it's just, it's hard to explain that run. It's like, it doesn't feel like you are speedrunning the game. It feels like you're just trying to be really good at a handful of really stupidly hard tricks.
Yeah.
I love Warpless because it feels like I'm playing Super Mario Bros. And doing a speedrun of it. But any percent is like, I'm speedrunning Flagpole Glitch and like a couple dumb clips. And it's not like, I don't know. So it sucks, because if you take a break, you come back and it takes a while to de-rust all those stupid tricks. And it's like, you almost don't want to come back because, you know, like, I'm going to have to take a while to get back to the point I was, and I shouldn't have stopped in the first place, but I was so sick of it. Not that it's not fun when you're actually doing it, and I don't want to make it sound like it's just torture, but I don't know. Just like the nature of that run can really easily burn you out.
Yeah. I mean, from just watching, I feel like, oh, every level looks normal up until that point where you have to do that stupid clip or that flagpole glitch. I feel like, I have personally no idea how precise they are. Maybe you can tell us in a second, but like, just from looking, it's looks like you try to hit perfect trick after perfect trick, and for like, how many levels are there? A few handful levels in a row. It's like, I can see that being really, really exhausting. And then like 8-4, where you try to play as perfect as possible to save there as much time. I can see that being like you have a heart rate tracker on your stream sometimes. I can see totally that your heart is dying during 8-4 after you hit all that other tricks, and then trying to play the perfect 8-4, and then relying on Bowser. Or is Bowser RNG then still in the fight?
Yeah, every frame he gives a different pattern.
Okay, yeah, then I can totally see that. Okay, that's like really, really stressful. But yeah, tell us how precise these tricks are, because I believe many people don't know how precise they truly are.
So I flagpole glitch you do 3 times in the run, and I like to kind of make it sound harder than it is to feel cool, but it's pretty much 5 frame perfect inputs.
Okay.
And like, it really is, but it does make it sound harder than it is. Like, I don't know. You have to land on a specific pixel and then push B on a frame, and then 2 frames later push A. So that's already like 3 frame perfect. And then when you get to the flagpole, you hit left on a specific frame and then jump on a specific frame. So it's like 5 frame perfect inputs. But most of that is like kind of just a muscle memory, like BA, left A. And it's like, it's not actually like, oh, 5 frame perfect crazy jumps or something, but it's precise.
It's more like executing a 2-part muscle memory but all the way frame perfect. Kind of, exactly. I can totally relate to that. In Celeste, we have like something similar where it's also more of a muscle memory execution and not like two frame input stuff. So yeah.
Right. And there's, because there's like sort of a variety of these hard tricks, like the clip in 1-2 is really hard and like unique in itself. The clip in 4-2 is like a unique clip, and then like bullet bill glitch, and then all of 8-4, there's like a whole bunch of stuff. So I would always talk about how like, oh, I have to suck at one of the tricks every day of attempts. So like, I'm amazing at everything, but like, I can't get past this one trick today. And so sometimes the trick I would suck at is like something in 8-4. And so I would get to 8-4 that day. And then of course that's the trick I would fail. And it's like, oh, it's just so hard to be good at every single trick and get the run today.
Yeah. After you just saying that, when I look at SMB1 in this way, that like every trick is not like just the same trick over and over. It's like different tricks. So every trick can be a gateway to your PB. Feels like, yeah, I can totally see that this run is like extremely frustrating. I don't know how you did this, but you somehow go through it. It's like amazing. Do you love SMB1? Just simple question. Do you love the game, or did you start to hate it through speedrunning?
No, I've never hated a game from speedrunning it. No, not at all. Even the category SMB1 90%, I think it's really cool. And it's actually like 100% skill based. Like, even though, like I said, Bowser's RNG and stuff, we literally like can plan on arriving at him at a certain few different frames and like know them all and like what to do on the different patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of unique in that there is RNG, but because of the way the game works, it's all like you can manipulate all of it. So it really is 100% skill based, and I like that about the game. So I watch like Zos playing Super Metroid right now, and he's like playing amazing, and then like some boss is stupid, or he gets to the end and he doesn't get like the missile drops he needs, and like that would just drive me insane to have played as well as you need and then the game just says no. So that is something I really like about Super Mario Bros. But I guess your question was, do I love it? And what that brings to my mind is like, I don't think I have any like super special place in my heart for the game, as weird as that might sound.
Yeah, it sounds super weird for me personally. Because
I was just gonna say, like, there's other games I think are just incredible games, like, you know, Ocarina of Time and Mario 64, very generic answers. Like, I think Super Metroid's an incredible game, like Donkey Kong Country 2 and like Sonic Adventure 2. These are like some of my favorite games, and I just think it's like so cool that they even exist. But Super Mario Bros. Is like the really famous game, and I can like see how for the time it was like super great and all that, but I don't like look at it and just like goo goo gaga over it like some other games where I'm like, this game is so cool, how does it exist?
Yeah. Okay, no, I was really surprised by your answer, because for me personally, like, both speed games I do speedrun, which are Celeste and Hollow Knight, more modern games, I truly love these two games from the bottom of my heart. And like, hearing from you that you don't have like a special place for SMB1 still, you are probably like the undisputed best in that game, is like kind of surprised me, I gotta admit. So one thing,
it does in like a speedrunning sense, I guess.
Yeah,
I like see games very differently from, they're like two different games. Like, this is a sick game, this is a sick speed game.
Okay,
I don't know.
So SMB1 is for you a sick speed game?
Yeah.
Okay, because the transition's actually perfectly in the next point I want to mention, because when I hear people talking about SMB1, I've heard names or sentences like, it's the holy grail of speedrunning, because it's like one of the most optimized speed games out there, I feel like even on RTA level and test level, it's like so close. I don't think there's like that much more we can do with it. And that's like crazy. So would you agree that it's like the holy grail, and what is so special about it in that sense, and why it is so special? I know this question sounds super weird, but maybe you can answer it in some way. If not, just talk about it.
Yeah. So I guess a lot of like speedruns that people will say are the best a lot of times just come down to if they're like a popular game. And so like Mario 64 is probably people would say like the most popular speedrun. And that's because it's a super popular game, but also the movement and like tricks are super cool. So it has that going for it. Super Mario Bros. 1 is like one, maybe the most popular game that exists, just like in general, like worldwide.
Everybody have heard of
And
it. Like
one.
most humans have heard of SMB1 being a thing. Like, but not most humans have heard of SM64 being a thing, I would say. Or I believe.
Sorry about
Don't worry. Nobody has seen it. Only people on YouTube.
Yeah, so people in general like know about the game and like you can like point at a game like Super Metroid and you're like, this is like one of the most technical, like crazy games that exists, but like a lot of people haven't even played it or like around the globe don't know it exists. But Super Mario Bros., like most people have seen or like maybe even played at some point. And so it has that going for it. And then also the speedrun is like pretty straightforward. So I think a lot of people can like relate to it. Like if you are watching a Mario 64 speedrun, you're probably like into speedrunning or just into like gaming more than if you happen to click on like, oh, Mario Bros. In 5 minutes. Like, what the heck? And you're able to watch that and just be like, wow, he ran through the whole thing. Crazy. My childhood ruined. So I think it's just kind of like the perfect situation where a lot of people know about the game and can be interested in seeing it beaten in 5 minutes.
I think I can totally agree with you there. Like, yeah, everybody can relate to SMB1. Like, even if they don't have played the original SMB1, like all the other Mario Brothers games that came out on newer consoles are still somewhat relatable to the original one, I want to say. And like, it's still running from left to right and jumping on enemies and collecting mushrooms and power-ups and beating
Yeah, for
Bowser
sure.
500 times. So
I will also say you asked about like the Holy Grail aspect of it, and I think that is another thing it has going for it is that even once you get into speedrunning, it has like this extra storyline of being really optimized. Sometimes it's kind of annoying because a lot of people get the consensus that like, oh, it's perfect and unbeatable, and they constantly are like, why are you still playing this? I thought it was perfect. It's like I got the exact same comment 7 years ago. So,
Okay,
but here we
nice.
are. We're still improving it.
Nice. Yeah, it's true. Speedrunning can always improve.
But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. It's a lot of like coincidences that it's like popular game and like frame rules make it so you can optimize it well and like it's just like a cool story, I guess, that it like is a very sort of prestigious and well-known game, but also it's like super hard to break the record at this point.
Speaking of hard to break the record, I want to talk about a video we just talked in the pre-talk a little bit. So if you don't know, Cosmic has also the Warpless World Record, which is like 1859 and then a few other numbers after that. But sub 19 is like the last big breakthrough in that game, as far as I know. Like, you will never get sub 18 in this game, probably.
Yeah.
Okay,
For
so.
reference, the tool assisted run is like 1833, I think.
Okay, yeah, then it's probably never going to happen. But yeah, so 1859 happened, Cosmic. He has a video on it. Just search on YouTube, Road to 1859 SMB1. You will probably find it, or look Cosmic's YouTube channel up. And that video was really awesome to watch for me. I watched it like a few days ago, because it shows how long it took Cosmic to get to 1859. Like, the video started off you getting a 1906, I believe, or 1902. I don't really remember, but really early in that progress, I want to say. And it shows that it takes you like a lot of months. So how, like, just talk in general about your way to 1859 and like what people could learn from that entire progress in terms of speedrunning.
So, yeah, it starts with me getting 1902. That was the first time I'd had the record in like quite a few years. And I beat the record went from 1903 to 1902 when I got it. And so it was like really satisfying. And I was like, in the future, I'll get 1859. But I like kind of took a break from Wordless because I got my goal for that moment. And then, so it was like a year later, I would like, I'm ready to come back to Wordless. Let's go for the 1859. I already knew how it was possible. And when I got the 1902, it was like, I don't know, in that year I got a lot better. So now I was like even more ready to get 1859. So I just started working at it. And because I've gotten a lot better, I very quickly got like 1901 and then 19 flat. But it just so happens that like saving the last second from 19 flat to 1859 is like much, much harder because like, I don't know, it's for whatever reason, it's just, you get to that point and then the time saves become a lot harder. So, you can see in that video that like, I would almost get 1859 at one point, and then it's like months later, I'm still trying.
Yeah.
And it sucks because it's like, I got so close, or like I literally did it a couple times, but Bowser hit me at
Bowser,
the end.
Yeah.
And that's, it's not like any percent where you can pretty easily get past him or something. You can sort of like memorize the patterns and that Wordless is like kind of harder to control that. So yeah, it really was like, I really wanted to make that video almost more for myself because I just felt like I had this journey I went through that it was like really satisfying to complete because it really was like something like speedrunning is always like this endeavor that eventually you get your goal, but that one really was because like I was so close and had done it and just like been robbed like multiple times, and then finally I did it and it was just, I don't know, it was really satisfying.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Like, I was like, is he getting it now? And then I saw at the video time and was like, no, he's not getting it now. And it was like, like you also had like timestamps on which date each of the like PBs happened. And it was like a long journey. I love that you made that video. It was like a really cool video. So please, everyone who's listening right now or watching it on YouTube, I put a link somewhere in the description of that video. I hopefully remember that. And yeah, you could please watch it. It's like an amazing video. Do give Cosmic a follow or whatever. Do what you can do on YouTube. But yeah, you said already one thing, because that's my last point I want to mention here before we are over. You already talked a lot of cool stuff about cool stuff. So thank you. But you said once you hit 1900, it got a lot harder to break through the next second. And what I loved there is that's basically, I had yesterday a talk with people about that. That's basically the life cycle of speedrunning. I have no exact name, but speedrunning, when you start out, it's like completely fresh. You are really excited. You are really excited to learn new things. And, you know, time improvement goes off like very quickly. And then you hit a certain point where you need to invest, like it feels thousands more of attempts and hours to just beat the time by a few more seconds. And that's like, speedrunning is getting exponentially harder to save little time in the end progress of it. So yeah, what can you tell us about this? Like how did you went through that life cycle of speedrunning in SMB1, for example? And what could others do to understand that concept a little bit better? Because I feel like that's one of the most frustrating things for new speedrunners.
Right. This kind of harkens back to something I said earlier where I'm like, just get your first PB. Like, don't reset because the run's bad or whatever. Because my favorite run after learning a game is always the second one where you have, like, these huge time saves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hope my first run is terrible because it's really fun to be, like, 30 minutes ahead on my second run.
Yeah, I can totally feel you on that.
Uh-huh.
I'm totally the same.
But, yeah, a lot of times learning a game, you'll, like, sort of reach the not quite the limit, but you're like, okay, here's the point where I need to like kind of refine my strats and like sort of get your potential here so that you can get to here. And
yeah,
it's like, now I need to move my potential here so I can get to here. Super Mario Bros. Is kind of like an interesting case again because it's not like the potential for humans really goes down all that often. So it's like it's like you kind, like I already know pretty much exactly what I would do to get to like 1858 57 56 55. Like I already know it's just like hard. So it's not really a case where you kind of can just go innovate. It is, but it's just like making already known stuff easier rather than finding brand new ways to save time.
Okay.
But yeah, I will go back to Warpless, and I have a list of speedrunning goals for this year, and it's on there. I want to get like 1856 or maybe beyond. I don't know. We'll have to see. But yeah, I think even since I did the 1859, I'm better at the game. And that's also what kind of blows my mind is like, somehow, even with Super Mario Bros., I'll continue to look back like a little bit in the past, and I'm like, I feel like I'm way better now than I was then.
Yeah,
which is so weird.
It sounds so crazy after you said it. Like, it's phenomenal that you can say you speedrun this game for so long, and every year you can still say I got better at this game, even though it's like somewhat simple. I want to say, like, there's not extremely much that goes to it, but you can still say you are better. It's like phenomenal to say, or awesome to look at, I believe.
Yeah, but I don't know if I answered your question that much. I don't know.
Don't it's worry. Just,
you get to certain points, and you have to like take a step back and see what's the best approach to break the next wall. And it is true that like the time saves became harder from 19 flat to 1859, but also it was probably a mental thing as well, and some pretty bad luck on Bowser and stuff. But yeah, we broke through, that barrier is down, and now we can keep going.
Yeah, I really love what you said, that you need to push your potential, like your sum of best, so-called, to just get to the next, like to get to the next level, but you don't even reach your sum of best, because like PBing your sum of best, like getting to the point where you PB and your sum of best is basically the same, is like extremely ridiculous and crazy at heart.
There was someone, or this has been the case a few times, where someone will be like, oh, I just really want to get this time, and I'm doing all these runs and I can't get it. And I always tell them like, okay, like here's your potential, and you're trying to get like here. Like if you just like went and like refined your strats and practiced a bunch so that your potential was here, then the time you're trying to get is like free for you.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't know, that's what I always do. Like even in Billy Hatcher, the world record when I started running was like low 109 to like 108 as I started learning the game. And people were like, 107 is like the end goal. And I'm like, nah. So now I have the world record. It's like a low 107. And I'm like, I'm going to get like 105. And like, people are like, oh, that's pretty crazy. And I'm like, that's not the end, guys. It's still not going to be the end. Like 104 is going to happen. And they're like, ah, shut up. I don't know. I just think there is a lot of potential to keep going down. Like I've like seen a lot of games like progress, and like seen, I don't know, I can like see what potential games have to go to, I guess. And that with this game, it is kind of like a smaller community. And so it's not like you have SM64 levels of people trying to drive the game down. So I'm like, I can see in the future, like this time's going to happen. And the reason I brought this up is because people were saying like, oh, this time would be really hard to get. And I'm like, oh, well, it wouldn't be as hard to get if we just brought our sum of best down to this time. So that's like the exact analogy that I was using.
Yeah, I love just what you said. I think you did a phenomenal job. So for everybody listening to this, if you haven't heard of Cosmic, now you did, please give this guy a follow on Twitch. How often do you stream on Twitch, man?
I'm in my final semester of college, so
okay.
Whenever I'm not doing homework, I would love to stream like every day, but
okay.
I usually get around to it probably like four nights a week still, so pretty frequently.
Okay, so you hear, guys, I put the link of Cosmic's channel in the description, so please give this guy a follow, and yeah, follow him around, also go to his YouTube, he has awesome videos there. So I think you did an awesome job. I hope you liked the episode. You liked talking with me about these bunch of things. You enjoyed it yourself.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was really awesome. So yeah, thank you all for listening up until this point, and see you hopefully in the next one. Bye.
Bye.
Yo, thank you all for listening all the way to the end. Wasn't it kind of awesome and surprising how he said that Super Mario Bros. 1 was not his favorite speed game, but it's the game he's most known for? That really, really surprised me. If you want to watch the podcast live, I can highly recommend to check out my Twitch channel. It's in the description of the podcast and the episode. There you can interact in real time with my guests and me and can ask questions, so we can have a little FAQ section at the end of each podcast episode. If you're up to that, just check out my Twitch channel and follow it. It's for free. That's about to happen once my internet is back, so I can stream regularly again. I have another episode planned with Cosmic where we talk about world record culture and the problem of it. So keep an eye out for that. It should be up in like 3 to 4 weeks, depending on my upload schedule. And for next week, I have planned an episode with Dave Stereo, a Celeste Final Fantasy speedrunner, and we talk about RPG speedruns and how to approach these long speedrun games, aka 4 or 5 hours or longer, because I have no clue about that, and I'm really interested into that because I have no idea how you practice a 4 to 5 hour speedrun or longer, but he will tell everything about it, and I totally believe he has awesome stories to share. So watch out for that next week, Wednesday. This episode's going live. Hopefully you will be there and you will get more awesome stories to listen to. And till then, see ya and stay awesome.